Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Be Free, Be Fun, Be Fearless. I am Dr. Rena El-Felaki, founder of Light Changes Coaching, author, and your host for today. And I am thrilled to be joined by my guest today. And we eventually had to hit the record button because he and I, whenever we get together, just don't stop talking. We better share some of this goodness with you. And that is Robert C. Robertson. Hi, Rob.
Welcome.
So you meant
that exciting, interesting to be on the Fearless podcast.
Yes. And you may notice the accent. It's morning here in the UK and it's well and truly evening over where you are, Rob, in New Zealand. So, Rob, his specific title is a specialist in executive trust and business growth. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, yeah. I might have heard something like that before, but no, my friends. That is not it, honestly. You are in for a massive treat today. We are going to be talking about things to do with emotional fitness, to do with emotional unblocking, to do with a triad or a myriad of how to create trust within your organization, within your life, with marketing, with tech, and of course, most of all, with you. So talk to me, Rob.
Welcome to the Boss Ladies Mindset Channel, powered by Crown for Success, the largest women's empowerment network for soulful CEOs on social media. We are a coaching business that mentors and motivates women to reach their highest potential in business and mindset mastery. Each one of our episodes will share valuable tips, resources, interviews, and empowering information that will help boss ladies design a life and business they're crazy as fuck about.
Sounds really interesting. Sign me up.
Exactly. Would you like to explain your day job and then let's talk a bit more about you and where you've come from?
Our day job is we've got a company called Unbox Performance. I'm CEO and founder, and we build trust in executives and growth. And we've got the marketing side, which helps a business grow through marketing help and support. But it's also about growing the executive and the leader. And as an executive coach, there's some interesting combination of things there. So that's what I do.
And I love the name Unboxed Performance.
Big believer in flow. And we'll talk about that in more personal and sharing some things that can help in our own individual journey, but it's about flow and opening up and performance of people and organization and the marketing. And that's what really drives me. I don't believe life is meant to be hard. It's meant to be in flow, and it's all about listening and trusting. And when you're guided or trusting, then the magic happens if we get out of the way. And that's been my journey, as you know, from being in the head to just dropping into emotions. And it's still a journey, as we shared with you today before recording, just about some interesting realizations about that journey. So that's flow and being present. That's what it's all about for me.
So Unboxed is about not being boxed in, about being free.
Unleashing and trusting flow and having the business growing so that when you're set up with the right purpose and the right positioning and the right technology, then growth is a natural and organic flow. And that's what we are all about, is helping businesses grow and achieve their goals.
And the performance side is obviously, it's about how we perform in our lives as leaders and in our business.
Yeah, well, it all starts from the top. And the big thing I love working with owners around is their trust of themselves, because they create the whole culture, and we create their own culture by our leadership and the way we communicate with our team. And so it's the same thing. It is when you trust who you are and believe in who you are, which has been a struggle for a lot of us in our journey, then the magic can happen, because when we trust ourselves and we resonate and we're making decisions that ignite people and grow people, well, then that's when you have this culture that enriches people and just moves people, driven by purpose, and makes it all better.
So I'm curious about this, because a lot of people might say, I want to set up my own business, or, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, or, you know, that I already have my own business and it's doing pretty well. But so I'm going to go to you. You know, I hear you really help with growth and helping to perform my business, but then they sit there with you and you start talking about trust. And yet in most cases, people would be thinking, no, I want to know what I have to do. I want to know who I need to market to, how I need to market. I want to know how to do. And you're telling me to trust, seriously?
Well, I trust the instincts. And so there's a big shift in the world and consciousness happening at the moment. And it's used to be about sort of logic and making choices in the head. And now it's really much more, I'm a big believer in following your intuition. And when you know, and you tend to be in the right place at the right time and in flow, when you're making those more instinctive decisions. And leadership's changed. It's about being vulnerable now and being authentic, and people follow you because you're real. It's not like this whole facade that of being a certain thing that it used to be about, and like I used to be in my journey as well, to be real. And that's what the big change at the moment is, this authenticity and trust. The world and business is changing big time, and that's exciting, but it can also be scary as well along the journey as we seek to really trust ourselves and believe in what we're doing and where we're going. And that's the big thing today.
Okay, we're going to come back to that, because I've got a lot more questions. I want to go a lot deeper on that for people to truly understand how trust is going to get you better performance. And maybe we'll touch on some examples. But you just mentioned the word about your story, and I know you have a beautiful story about how, well, now how you're living your life and your passion and being free. So tell us about it.
Wow, beautiful story. I don't know if it's, I'd never call it as beautiful. There's a few sort of gory bits that are in there.
People think that when something is perfect or when something is beautiful, they create an image as if everything has always gone right. But actually, perfection, it just is, isn't it? So it people can put a label on it as good or bad, but there is no real good or bad. It just is, and it's what's brought you to this place.
Yeah, totally. So you use the word beautiful, and the reality is life hadn't always been flowing and what I'd call easy as it is now, with business booming, a lot of clients, and life looks really good. But the journey for me started out in sport. One of the major things is, as a 12-year-old, I was selected for the Mid Canterbury, this is in New Zealand, rep soccer team. As an under 12-year-old, I was 11, and I didn't really believe that I was good enough to be in the team. And so I didn't perform very well, because my whole belief, and it was sort of a self-sabotage or imposter syndrome. At age 12.
And why do you think that was?
And then the same at age 18, the similar thing. So what, and I didn't realize until many years later, when I really explored what happened as a seven-year-old, where I had suffered sexual abuse, and I blocked most of that away, other than a few specific memories. And of course, you block that away. So the importance of this, I look at it as an amazing gift now, because the learning that has come from that time has been just mind-blowing. So the journey of if I continue through the journey to see the key lessons that came out and really helped me, is that I learned positive thinking in my first year at university, because I had major anxiety. First year away from home, I was just so out of my depth and didn't sleep for several days without anxiety. And then depression, just all these different things and mental illness. I survived the first year just. And then the second year, I discovered positive thinking. And for 10 years, I thought this was the answer. And so I was quite successful in sport, reasonably successful in sport, and then business and a manager of 100 staff and national sales managers. So quite successful. But then was this major realization. Mr. Positive was a facade. And I only discovered that because I did a retreat in the Blue Mountains at that stage living in Australia. And all of a sudden, there was this massive anger erupted. And I was just horrified because I've been Mr. Positive, turning everything into a positive in the head here. I was totally could not handle any negativity or criticism or look at my weaknesses. I had to be this positive. And all of a sudden, I discovered massive anger that was hidden away and all this emotions because I'd just been the head. So that started the last almost 20 years of learning everything I could around emotion. And this is why I'm an emotional fitness expert, because I've looked to learn everything around releasing anger and owning the emotion and sensing and getting from this hiding place where I'm safe to really trusting, feeling and sensing. And this is why I love working with people around this area, because when you trust and sense, then that's when the magic happens. Because at an emotional level, I discovered huge anger and all this sort of negative stuff, low self-esteem and all sorts of doubt and all this stuff, which was completely covered up in the head, thinking that I was okay. So I see it as such a gift, because I remember quite clearly what it was like being in the head and having this sort of facade. I had to be a certain thing and I had these goals to be a certain thing. I couldn't be real because it was all a facade. But that's what really ultra positive and in the head stuff is. So from being that to being now authentic and able to be really true and talk about anything and not have real big stuff attached to it. And that's just such a divide. And because of that, life is so different now. And what I started out with talking about the sport and my journey, and that is the most phenomenal part of my journey. It's still unfolding more, but in terms of in tennis and national rings, I was always okay at times of brilliance, but I wasn't really a top player. But in the national rankings, like, just shot up now, and from being top seed in our club champs mixed doubles, I never even dreamed of that, because of the mental toughness. It's actually emotional toughness. Because when we're in the moment in sport and we just go to combat without thinking, it's instinctive. High performance in any aspect of life, it's not about thinking and processing, but particularly in sport, you got to do it instinctively. And so you get out of the head and just do. And that's been just the most satisfying, because as a second career, I traveled overseas coaching tennis. It was never but being over, not always a great player. That was always the thing. I love tennis, but yeah, I'm not a great player. But whereas now I can match it with anybody. And so sport is really the conclusion of that journey, from having experience for so many years that doubt, the self-doubt that would come up under pressure and sabotage me, to now having a different freedom and a flow. And it's like, I don't care what people think now. I'm really aware and sense and pick up what people think, but it's like, if they don't like it, well, it's fine. It's a different level of belief and a self-esteem from having emotionally low self-esteem to, I don't necessarily have a hugely high self-esteem, but call it healthy. Okay, but with who I am, so that is the spectrum of both sides of the divide, which is such a gift for me. And that's why I look back on the journey and the seven-year-old me that was, yeah, abused as such a gift that I'm lucky to have had, because it's taught me so much. And that's why I love working with people high performance in sport or as business owners or combining the two, business owners that want to improve their sport performance and their business and trust and so forth. That's what I love. So there is my journey. Whether, I don't know if you call that beautiful, but I love the introduction.
like you said, it's you realize that it happened for you, not to you, and it was a gift, even though people would see it otherwise. I mean, I start to tell people similar things and they're like, oh my goodness, you know, I feel so sorry for you. And it's like, no, don't feel sorry for me. You know, I'm like 30 plus years on, I'm good. And you touched on something, which I wanted to say, because obviously that happened to you and other things happened to you, and this sense of lack and depression and anxiety in your 20s, which is so relevant today. And I'd really like to get into that some more.
Mm.
But you touched on the fact that it just doesn't get to you anymore. But from what I'm hearing you say, it's not a case of you've just put a plaster over it and it doesn't get to you. It's just you've done the work inside that it doesn't have the same meaning. How true is that?
Totally true. And when you use the word beautiful journey, it's a beautiful outcome is what I feel I'm in now, because no matter what happens in life, I see it as feedback and an education. So I just look at what's happened and the struggles have pretty much evaporated. I mean, there is just a different level of flow and luck that I attract. And that is the beautiful outcome, which is where I'm at now. I'm stuck on that beautiful outcome. I don't even remember what you asked me. But
I was saying, you know, about well, you confirmed it. It was just, we were saying it, you know, it's when people, it doesn't get to you, it's not about people that you put a plaster over it. It's just, it doesn't have the same meaning that it did at the time.
Yeah. And I used the word self-esteem before, and it's so different. Because if somebody disagrees with me or something, then I find that's their opinion, I'll move on, because I feel okay about who I am. And so, yeah, it's definitely, things don't affect me like they used to, because you just feel different about who I am. And being able to sense a lot, then you can often pick up a meaning of something and sense different things. And that's the trust of self and the instincts. So yeah, it is definitely I'm stuck on that word that you
beautiful use. I know, I'll say it for you.
it's a beautiful outcome and a feeling to, because the journey's about being present is something that has just taken turned a new page. And it's about when I'm truly present, that's when the mind is still. Because the mind wants to look forward and back, or the head does, and analyze and judge and constantly. But when truly present, this is the magic. And in sport, this is the magic when some freaky things can happen on the tennis court or in any sport, when you're truly present. And most people aren't fully present. We have times of it, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's just a really interesting expansion and opportunity for a lot of us, including me, to be more present, even though most of the time I think I am. That's the interesting one.
But the telling word is I think.
I think I am,
which means you're thinking, so you're not being present. Ooh.
You're good. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Listen, let me take you back to your 20s, because I found this fascinating, you know, and I've seen that with a lot of people, and especially in current times where people feel so anxious. You know, mental health is a massive, massive thing now, and we see so much more in teenagers, early 20s, people suffering from anxiety. And the common theme is, oh, it's because of all the pressure that young people have put on them today and things like that. So I'd love you to comment on that. And then the other thing, well, I should comment on that, then I'm gonna, we may take us somewhere else, but there's something that's very relevant I want to ask you. But comment on the anxiety in younger people.
Well, anxiety is a human and natural behavior. So it's embracing anxiety as normal. And it can be useful. It's when it's actually excessive, like when I didn't sleep for literally two nights in a row, that's when it affects you. So the first thing is, let's not have anxiety as labeled as a bad thing, because it's a bit like fear. It can protect us, and that's what it does. It stops us in the case of fear, jumping off a cliff, or we might have some anxiety about doing something, and that's natural. So a lot of the time it can be really valuable. And then it's looking at emotional understanding. And one of the emotional fitness techniques in the toolbox is to really integrate and listen and use it without, we don't want to cut off our emotions, but integrate emotions. So yeah, that's the first thing, is just really knowing that it's a healthy and natural, and don't judge it as bad. It's here to protect us. It's just when it gets excessive, then we look at what is driving it and look at it in deeper. That'd be the first thing.
So you, and that actually brings us on beautifully to my second question, where you said 10 years of positive thinking. And this is so, it's such a common word. People would say, be positive. Positive thinking, don't be so negative, just tell yourself it's all going to be okay. Positive, 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 positive. So, but you're telling me that didn't do any good. It's actually, you were just taping over the problem. So tell us about that, and what your message is to other people who just say, just be positive.
Well, just be positive as an outcome is good. If you're clear about how you're being positive, if you're being positive and cutting off emotions, then that is a disconnection positive, because it's a hiding going into the head, because you're cutting off and not being true to yourself. But if you can feel the emotions and understand what your emotions are, and sure, you look to be positive, but not force it to dominate your emotions. So the ultimate outcome is to be positive, but I've given up on being positive as a strategy. But what I do is listen inside, and ultimately I get to a positive outcome by a key technique, which I can share if it's relevant. But it's about listening inside and looking for positive outcomes, but not forcing yourself to be positive, is what my experience is, because being positive was forcing issues and hiding and just being fake.
So you never really dealt with all the sense of lack of self-worth, lack of confidence, yeah, all the stuff that you had in your teens, which obviously then, as you recognize now, manifested as anxiety. And it's again, like you say, you know, actually I'm not truly anxious. The anxiety isn't about what I'm about to do, and recognizing that once you peeled off some layers, it came from something much deeper within you that was resonating, that needed to be dealt with.
Yeah. And it's just being true to who we are and listening to what our emotions are. Often, or people try and control emotions and are scared of emotions, or they don't want to really release it, because we don't get taught how to understand and deal with our emotions in a healthy way. And that's what it's all about, so that we are listening and going along a positive course. And that's the freedom of being authentic and being open and aware and trusting and listening to our emotions.
As opposed to taking a load of antidepressants or anxiety drugs, and then a few different ones to help you sleep as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And this is where there is more and more awareness about emotions, but there are some simple techniques which, if only doctors could prescribe them, to listen within and release, then imagine the saving in antidepressants and the huge health benefits to build in a freedom and true inner fitness or emotional fitness to be able to live our freedom, be free internally.
Exactly. So listen, you've been teasing us with this. You keep mentioning you've been teasing us with these little techniques of this emotional. Can I get you to share?
Yeah, the biggest one that's been massive for me, and this is where I had a whole lot of anger and release and all sorts of stuff, sadness released, called emotion unblocking. And it's nicknamed, should I use a sort of slightly X-rated nickname?
Go for it.
It's called de-shitterization. And it's releasing the shit that we're feeling. So when we're feeling negative, we use the de-shitterization or emotion unblocking to release layers. We don't hide from our emotions. We look to own them and let them out. Pretty simple, very simple technique. There is, whenever we're feeling sadness or any negative emotion, we look to express it. So particularly as a male, and I would always do this in private, but if we're feeling sadness, whether it be anger or whether it be sadness, you cry, whatever, let the emotion out. But here is the key thing that most people don't ever understand. You ask where it's coming from and you drop down emotionally and release a new layer. So you do it again. You release a layer. How am I really feeling? Or where this is coming from and emotionally. So you let out the emotion and then you go down a layer. Where's this coming from? How do I really feel? And you let out more and more emotion because it's like everything's attached to beads and to deeper levels in our unconscious. Or the simplest way is it's like an iceberg. So we have a negative or anger, say, and that's the tip of the iceberg that's above the surface. So we're feeling that coldness and we feel awful. Often people push that iceberg down with all the attached emotion and negative stuff, and then they feel okay again, but it comes up again. But here's the key. If we melt the layer by expressing, just in a private way, letting out the feelings, melt that top layer, and then we ask where this is coming from, we drop down, we let up more and more emotion, and more and more and more and more. And it was the different layers, and we kept going. If we get down to the bottom of the iceberg, then we'll feel like there's no more negativity there to let go. We just feel like a calmer sense comes about us. Because the iceberg is effectively anchored into our psyche at the bottom. But if we melt the whole thing, it's like doing years of debaggagizing and releasing, whether you call it psychotherapy or sort of releasing of old garbage. And that is all sorts of unconscious stuff. So I had different levels of anger or something that happened, and then I'd go and do this in different layers, and some stuff from childhood came up that I just released it that was completely unrelated to the current event which triggered my anger. But there's all the stuff that was all attached, and we build. So we let go of this whole iceberg of stuff. And it's so liberating, because next time we're in the situation where we got triggered and created that anger, if we let go of the whole iceberg, we don't have that trigger. So we actually feel freedom. So this is a way of releasing layers and layers of our baggage. And this is then the key to growing self-esteem and certainty for me, because as you get rid of all the shit by de-shitterizing all the stuff from childhood and past lives, if you believe in that, and all the stuff, then you just have a different presence about us. We have a different knowing and a different trust, because there's just a connection to source, and there's not all our garbage that we all carry around that creates our future, because we don't get what we want in life. We get what our unconscious programming and stuff creates. It's a filter that creates our future. So by doing this, it's so liberating.
I hear the passion, but I have a question. So, okay,
yeah.
I'm angry. I can't make myself look angry when I talk to you because I'm always smiling at you. Okay, I'm really angry. Right,
you're I'm looking so angry. I'm scared. Sorry.
How can I get out of my head though? Okay, I'm sitting here. I'm so, all right, okay, let's just say someone has hurled me, has said something really horrible to me, and I feel angry because I know that it's so unjustified and I feel like I'm not being heard. So actually this is a common thing that historically for me, I would always feel like I wasn't being heard and people couldn't see. A bit like you, having been through similar things, it's not a facade at all, but it's just, I talk about stuff and I don't seem emotional. You know, in a counseling session, you're never going to get me to break down and cry. It just doesn't happen. People will end up thinking, they'll think I'm this tough cookie and don't realize that underneath I'm actually incredibly vulnerable and emotional, but they just see that. So, okay, so I'm angry because I'm saying something and someone has misinterpreted it and they haven't heard me. I haven't been heard. So it's triggered me. And I'm furious, but of course I didn't happen to know that was the reason. And I want to be heard and I want this person to hear me. So I've got really, really peeved. But how on earth can I get out of my head if I am a head person? When I sit here and I think, okay, why am I angry? I'm going to be sitting here thinking, why am I angry? How can I get out of my head into the
emotion? You can do it by yourself. And there's a PDF that goes into detail about this technique that I can share. But you just say, how do I really feel? And just don't need to analyze it and think about it, but just try and connect with the feeling. And some people can't do this if they're really in the head and they're not emotionally available. But it's so useful for so many people. If they are able to express emotions, then just how do I feel? Or where's this coming from? And just feel. Don't have to think or analyze or try and do anything, but just let out whatever feelings are coming up. And well, just
you're not putting a label on it. So I'm not struggling to even find a word. I'm just sitting with it and I'm asking the question and I'm just feeling it without having to express it
verbally. Yeah, you don't need to express it verbally, but express it emotionally. So let out any feelings. Because if you think of it as your iceberg, you want to melt it and express the feeling. So if it's sadness, you can hit a pillow, or anger, hit a pillow, say. But if it's sadness, you might just sit there and feel, and could be tears, because that's a natural thing for sadness. So just cry, and then, but you drop down these layers, and this is the power. We can melt the top layers and the iceberg disappears, but it'll come up again. And so by melting the layers and getting down to where it's anchored and releasing it, then we actually completely change who we are. So it's just feeling and letting out any feelings.
Letting out to ask the why, but then don't let the head get in the way and think, oh, well, it could be that. Oh, well, actually that happened yesterday. And oh, well, no wonder I'm a bit moody because X, Y, Z. It's not that. It's ask the why and then the first thing that comes through to you.
Over the years, having guided many people through the process, facilitated it. I mean, it's something you do by yourself. You don't need anyone to guide you. But there is sometimes, having taught this technique a lot, that people do analyze and get some insights that are useful, but I don't necessarily encourage that. Don't go looking for it, because we don't need to analyze and know that someone at school called us a dope and then kept calling us a dope, dopey deck or whatever, and that's ingrained in us. And I'm not sure if I was allowed to use that word, but anyway, it came out. So it's ingrained in us and we just have all this association with it, so we don't need to conceptually process that unless you want to. But just by releasing the emotion, and I'm a big believer in the research by Dr. Jill Boat Taylor, the brain scientist, who suggests that our emotions lead our thoughts. So by just letting go of the emotions attached to it, we don't need to then think about it. It stops the thoughts. So we have this quietness in our head by releasing our emotions and unconscious stuff that creates the stuff that generates our thoughts. So this is where the real power is, to just release those feelings and those things that come up without analyzing, just offload them.
Reverse to NLP, because NLP is the idea that your thoughts and cognitive behavior therapy and all these things, you know, it's all based on you think and therefore you choose a different thought, and then you, it's attached to a different feeling and a different action.
Yeah. And what I always say,
it's the other way.
Oh yeah, and I, sorry for interrupting, but I love this whole debate because I know there is definitely a lot of people that say that, but where do your thoughts come from? And I'm a big believer in this, that it's from our unconscious stuff. And unconscious stuff is our programming, or we were taught this, or we were told we were this, or someone said we can't sing, and so every time we sing, we, it's all our programming. And where is that stored? And I'm a big believer it's our unconscious stuff, which is connected to our unconscious emotions. And so it's this programming and stuff, it's at a vibration, which then creates our thoughts. And for me, there's been just a massive shift by letting go of emotions. All of a sudden, the stuff in the head, the thoughts are different, and the calm and quietness up here from doing the work at an emotional level. And that's why I love that research that suggests that, because it just has been so true for me.
But what if I challenge you and I say, no, Robert, it's the right side of the brain. That's where all that unconscious stuff is stored.
Well, good luck. If that works for you, then go for it. That's what I would be saying, because yeah, the magic has from how you get quick changes is at an emotional level. Because if you release our old, and I know I was at a seminar where a doctor was visiting New Zealand and he's a specialist, and he said that cancer is normally cured by letting go of our emotional stuff, or forgiving stuff for which we don't. So this is the power. You can shift things by changing your thinking, but how quickly can you shift things? Sure, you can visualize and do a lot of things and some good NLP, that sure it works, but from my experience, the real quick way of releasing and changing and reprogramming, and in the natural way, is releasing our stuff that creates it. And then we get a quicker, faster, and simpler change in our programming. And it's natural, as opposed to people can decide for themselves whether doing lots of NLP is natural or not. I'm not saying it's going to be bad, or for some people that might be suit them better, and that's fine. But I'm a big believer in how our emotions lead our thoughts and create our outcomes in life. What we want, we don't get what we want. We get what our unconscious stuff creates. And this is why all our icebergs floating around of all this garbage, we attract the same people and the same results in our life of that matches our garbage. Little mental tune, garbage match. Oh, whoop, there's that person matches my garbage. Let's go and have a relationship with them. And we have the same sort of pattern again and again.
Until you release.
Until we release. And if we get rid of our shit and our stuff, just by releasing, but hesitant to say that word, depending on how formal. I did say that the other day to a group, and this lady looked at me as if, shit, is that really a word you should be using, young lad?
I also noticed the debaggagizing as well. So, you know, getting rid of the baggage. I love these words that you come up with. I'm not sure I find them in the dictionary. I'm gonna call them Robert C. Robertson words. You're gonna have your own dictionary. It's brilliant.
Oh, debaggagization is so good, because we carry around what we're taught. And as a kid, or we're told we're not good enough, or we're yelled at, and all, and we carry it around in our baggage, and we'd use positive thinking and try and hide it and change our beliefs. But all we need to do is express how we really feel and release layers and layers. And the transformation is huge, and it's just such a, I was going to say blessing. It was not meant in a biblical sense, but it's such a blessing to feel like you're unstoppable, because whatever happens is happening as a lesson, or as a guidance, and just to trust that there's a reason for it. And that's the big thing that's been huge for me, just to trust. And that's why I love helping other people build that trust, for whether it be high performance sports people, or people that want to improve sport or business performance. So
Okay, yeah, and it's not about the rationalization going on in here. It's the understanding of why we feel the way we do.
Yes, and the systems around the world are breaking down that are very some old school, well, ego driven, and a lot of too much head stuff is being replaced by the more authentic. And some companies are breaking down that are that old style. Leadership is changing. It's about being authentic. People jump on board and want to follow a leader that is true because they relate to them. So yeah, it is the shift, and the whole world is being reprogrammed now, and a whole lot of old stuff's coming up to look like disasters and looks like the world's breaking down. But it's part of the awakening of consciousness, which is happening in 2020, because it is needed to, as we step into the new, and it depends who you're following as your mentors, but there's some exciting shifts in the planet happening right now as people awaken, and some of the old horrendous stuff is being brought up into the open to be able to heal and people to move on. So yeah, it's quite an interesting time to be alive if we trust and understand who we are and feel, I was going to say feel the force. I don't really use that word, but.
Oh, I'm a big Star Wars fan, but now we're showing our age. maybe not actually. You know, it came back again, didn't it? But actually, there's one more thing I just want to touch on, because I'm obviously just challenging you based on what I think other people may you know, want to say. And then I want to talk more about trust in business, but the visualization, things like people will say, but it's, you know, I like to visualize and affirmations and things like that. And I know when I teach visualization, be it through meditation or anything like that, or I take people through a neurovisual meditation, I always aim, it's not just about seeing the picture or imagining. To get the power of it, they have to engage in every sense. What it's like to feel it. How do they feel? What do they experience? What can they smell? What can they, what can they taste? Or what does it, if they're touching something? But it's always, how does it feel to have that? Which I believe is a much more powerful type of visualization as opposed to, oh, just picture it. So tell me about that and about affirmations, because people will say, well, are you telling me I can't do affirmations now because that's no good? Or is there a way of doing affirmations that engage with feeling?
Yeah, feeling's the key thing. I'm not necessarily a big fan of affirmations and visualizations. Although I've occasionally experimented with them and find them can be quite good. So it's everybody to what drives them. But I'm a big believer in, we all have a unique blueprint in life. We're born, or in fact, if you really want to go there, we could choose our own parents, I believe. And there's a blueprint or a dharma, which is our purpose in life. And the blueprint for what we're best at is sort of mapped out for us. And so by our choices, essentially, that we're making. So rather than, I don't use affirmations or visualizations, I listen to what my true direction and calling is and follow that. And as things get blocked, then I'll debaggageize and release the layers, which just powers me ahead. So as obstacles come up, I think, oh, the head wants to judge good and bad and analyze, but as an obstacle comes along, what looks like a problem, if we're just present there and feel, and that's when massive growth can come along. So I don't bother what I would call using affirmations or I don't know if that's forcing it, but I was going to say forcing it. I just listen and know each moment is perfect for what I need right now. And let's listen to what I need to do next. And what's the next step? And because I don't believe life is meant to be tough, it's meant to be flowing and powerfully satisfying and rejuvenating. If we really listen and are awake to the fact that everything's available to us right now, if we just get out of the way and just listen and go for it, rather than necessarily forcing things, just and that's been a phase in the last week, is really just slowing down from working so much, because I love what I do, but just slowing down and just getting super present with every morning with the meditation and just listening deeper levels and a whole lot of new stuff around being present, because everything's there. And so that's my take on it. It's a bit of a long-winded take on it, wasn't it?
It is. I was about to use our lovely word beautiful, since we didn't ban it. It's a
kind of a theme, isn't it? Lots of
why not? It's a no. It's a it, your passion quite clearly comes across, and I know you and I are very much in alignment. I was just challenging you about all of that, because obviously I too am about releasing, you know, and I know my all of my how to get what you want. My whole program and system is all, you know, the four gets. The last thing you get is you get going. You actually move forward, but actually we've got to do all the releasing in all kinds of different forms and steps before. Mm. So I know we're very energetically aligned, which is why we're exactly. Ah, come here.
I just had to love it. One thing I thought of, and the debaggageization or de-shitterization technique, there is one line to use whenever you're feeling negative or sadness or angry. Whenever you feel it, if you say this line, it will often let go of the sadness or negative energy if you've picked it up from other people. And so this is the key, especially at the moment, there's a lot of fear around and a lot of things we're picking up. So the line is very simple, and you say this.
Drum roll.
So whenever you're feeling negative, you say to yourself, anything that is not of the highest love or light, I command you to leave my body and energy field immediately, or body immediately.
Say again.
Anything, the key is you just say it assertively in your head. You can say it out loud like I am, but assertively in your head. Anything that's not of the highest love or light, I command you to leave my body immediately.
Anything that is not of the highest love and light, I command you to leave my body immediately.
Yeah.
Okay, that feels good. Okay.
Very simple, but often we're picking up energy from other people. And so many times during the day, that works. You can add on the end, I used that for many years. To avoid any karmic influence, you can add these extra words on the end and sent up to the light for healing. On the end of that, so that there's no karmic effect from offloading the energy we have picked up from other people to just be present. So if that line doesn't work, then you go into the unblocking and releasing the layers if you're in a private area where you can. Or occasionally I've done so much of it over the years, and it's so invigoratingly freeing. I'll sometimes do it when I'm driving, a bit of road rage, hey, sort of, and then I'll do a little bit of that if I don't have so much road rage.
Send it up.
What was that?
send it up for light.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm conscious of the time, and I want to go back to this trust issue, back to your work, because obviously about the sports and the sports performance, and so, you know, I mean, God, I love watching pro tennis, and they always say it's not here, and it's not just the talent or the skill, which surely applies to anything, right? It's not just the talent. Yes, it's the hard work, but it's about what exudes from here. So in your business, because you and I have talked a lot about this, and we've delved for the best part of almost an hour now talking about trust. So and leadership. So we could have a business person who comes to you. They want to improve their business. They need it to grow. They have a desire for it to grow. So you're going to come and you're going to help them. You're going to help them with leadership, which we've talked about, is about coming across as your authentic self, being able to inspire others, being able to tap into your intuition, to be able to understand other people's needs and wants and desires, to be able to look after yourself as well as others, so to be able to implement appropriate boundaries. Those are just a few examples of what true leadership is. So you will work with someone on becoming a leader. But then you have these other aspects, which I loved you say, because I was like a real, you know, and I wouldn't call myself a techophobic. Do you like that word?
Love that word.
I'm making up words today. So yeah, a techophobic.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily call myself that, but I know, you know, the minute it's like, oh God, I'm going to have to do something technical. I'm going to have to do this. Then I get a block. You know, I feel that anxiety here is, oh God, something's going to do. Or, oh God, you're telling me to market myself. And it's not that I don't believe in myself, but it's just that there's another thing. So you, when you and I were talking earlier, you explained that obviously you work on the person and the business. So that person is the leader to trust, but also add on these arms of also being able to trust the people around them, being able to trust the technology, being able to trust the marketing. And this is what you offer through Unbox Performance. So tell me a bit more about that.
So the model is, we call it the trust engine. And it's based on that. So we've got the inner trust engine. What's the fuel that drives us? And if we are really clear about the decisions we're making, and so if it was one thing, so that's trust as us. But a lot of our work is around the marketing and trust building of a business. So there is the trust of the brand. And so it's around building a tribe of followers and having people that refer, so advocates. But just a couple of quick tips for listeners. The key thing is being clear about what our impact is. If it's our business, what's our impact and what's our purpose? And I mean, there's nothing new about this, but today, if people come to your website and for whatever business you are, their statistics are they go to the About Us or the story most of the time. Because you can start a brand overnight, you can create a website, but people tend to want to know who's behind it. So it's your journey, the purpose and what drives a person is the fundamental thing that we really help a business get really clear about. And then that builds trust and people relate. So it's having a journey and a purpose and an impact. And then gone are the days where we need to sell. If we collect our resources and our brand and driven by this purpose, and then we provide first free content, and LinkedIn's amazing for this, people then start chasing us, because if we're really driven to make a difference in offering this content, and then people see us as this expert, and then rather than us chasing clients, we then encourage people to apply to be clients or do a strategy session, which is something I'll offer to your listeners if they want as a strategy session to me. And so you then have people applying or wanting to connect with you. And then to become a client, you actually need to, then we vet people to see whether they're the right fit to work with us. So we just don't take on any client. So that's where ultimately the business growth is because we have so many clients. We want to be careful that we're taking on the ones that we know we're going to impact. And so this is where we encourage clients to get to. If they get the setup right, we don't sell these days. It's a matter of building trust and being so clear about our impact. And so that's is effectively the overview. It's in a model is the trust engine has the inner trust. It's a trust in a brand and trust in the team and trust in technology, because we help with technology strategy and get the technology set up, and particularly around marketing and lead generation. But it's also the whole strategy around technology as vendor neutral advice. So, and then the team, having the team around you, whether that is the right people, but it's around accountability and the trust of the leader and trust of the team. So there's various accountability things of building a culture and people working together and based on having everyone on one page, because funnily enough, the core product that I've created is a one page plan, which is a really powerful tool to get everybody together in understanding and driven by a purpose and all on one page. So that's a bit of a few tips on ideas to help focus people from driven from purpose.
But and that's it though. It's a lot deeper than just, okay, let's all sit down in a room and work out a mission statement and, you know, and then yeah, everybody trust me and, you know, and then I'm going to hire someone to do the tech and someone else in fact hire someone to do the tech. It's about being your, what I'm hearing you say is about being your authentic self, knowing who you are, trusting in who you are, trusting your intuition, being the leader you're meant to be, engaged in passion, engaged in purpose, and that energetically will attract the right team around you, because you'll know if someone's right or wrong for you and so on. Mm-hmm. Then you're able to then trust in the team so that you can keep on evolving and growing the business, because you can delegate to the team. Mm-hmm. And you can delegate to the marketing, and you can delegate to the tech, which are aspects that you help provide people with as part of your business.
Yeah, and trusting the brands to ultimately in fact, all of our clients want to grow, and some actually grow themselves as a leader, as an executive coach. But generally, it's around growing their business. And so all these things, if they're really clear, it's getting out of this having to sell and having clients apply and chasing you. And that's what it's so empowering and so enriching when they chase you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's that people will see that as a luxury, don't they? I mean, I'm forever being harassed on LinkedIn by people thinking I'm looking for clients, and oh, we can help you get clients, and you know, so they want to connect with me, and I just delete, thinking, what makes them think that? You know, this, it doesn't, you know, I don't, it doesn't work that way. But of course, you have to grow enough to recognize that. But what an amazing possibility to work with you, to be able to grow your business with such authenticity. And it feels to me like you don't just put them is it the Travelator, isn't it? When it goes flat, I'm thinking of the baggage theme now. You don't just put them here, you put them on the escalator.
Okay. Yeah, prepare to take off by the, yeah, using that analogy, which, I mean, it's ultimately, it's so satisfying when people organically feel like they're in flow, because that's really what it's all about, is having a flow of clients. And the rules of business have changed. And as we said at the start of this interview, the world is changing in a big way. And so are the ways we can attract business. So yeah, it's an interesting time, depending who you follow, because yeah, things are flowing and changing.
Flow is the key word, isn't it, about being in flow. So listen, people can get hold of you through your website, robertcrobertson.com. They can reach out to you there. They can find you on LinkedIn under that name as well, right? Robert C. Robertson, if they want to connect with you. And you have very kindly offered a free strategy session, some time for a free session, right? So if they go to your website, they'll find out about that. But if you would like some of Rob's beautiful expertise, no, he is seriously an expert. I've just been teasing him, but today we've both been present. Yes, if you would like a strategy session with Robert, which would be so empowering and useful to understand where you're going wrong, and see perhaps even if you're a fit, you can obviously go to his website, but you can also book that directly through meetrcr.com and book that session. And yeah, you're a real, really, really special gift. So my friend, thank you so much for your time today. And as an extra special treat, Robert also wants to give away the PDF he was talking about earlier on. Am I allowed to say these words, or you say them for me?
Oh, I'd love to hear you say them.
In my lovely British accent.
Yes.
So yeah, Rob also is very happy to give away the PDF of what he's been talking about de-shitterization and de-baggageization. And how can they get that, Robert?
Yeah, it's a PDF which explains that step of anything that's not of the highest level light. It's got that as the first step, and then it goes into details of how to feel and release different layers. Yep. So that is a free download at the website emotional.fitness. So does anyone say www.emotional.fitness? That is the extension, so it's a little bit unusual.
No, it's great. So and there's no dash, just straight emotional fitness.
Emotional.fitness.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the word fitness is, instead of a .com, it's a .fitness. So emotional.fitness is the website.
Okay. Because I was thinking .fitness.com. Okay. So very important. The PDF for de-shitterization and de-baggageization.
Oh, you say that so well.
I've been practicing. It's at www.emotional.fitness, and you can download that there. And obviously, like I said, connect with Robert on robertcrobertson.com and book a free strategy session with him on meetrcr.com. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Thank you.
Total pleasure. Thank you for the interesting interview.
Ah, it's been so much fun. So beautiful. Now, exactly. So for now, I'm going to have three words to say to you, but before that, I would say, please do hit the subscribe button so you can find out when our next episode of the podcast video series is on, and please feel free to share with those who you think will also be equally inspired and enlightened. But for now, I'm Dr. Rena Al-Falaki. Be free, be fun, and be fearless. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Boss Ladies Mindset Channel powered by Crown for Success. Please tune in next week for another episode, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram at RVP Queens, at The Girl Gang Confidential, at Crown for Success, at Strong Women Are Beautiful, and of course, at Boss Ladies Mindset.